From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm Interfaith Alliance President Reverend Paul Rauschenbusch in Washington, D.C.
And people say, well, we have the numbers, sure, but give me a radicalized, zealous minority that wakes up every day with purpose compared to a flabby, moderate majority, and that radicalized minority will cut through us like butter.
This week, Interfaith Alliance convened an urgent briefing on Capitol Hill on the subject of Christian nationalism as a threat to the very fiber of our democracy. It's a movement to redefine religious freedom in the service of a narrow slice of American political Christianity, with the goal of controlling the lives of the majority of Americans. Sadly, a growing number are buying into this narrative. Recently, Politico released a poll revealing fully 61% of Republicans now embrace the idea that America should declare itself a Christian nation. What are the implications of that for the rest of Americans who do not identify with Christianity, who are secular, or who adhere to a different faith tradition? And here come the midterm elections, where so much of this will be decided. Joining me on Capitol Hill for that urgent briefing this past Wednesday were author and activist Wajahat Ali, voting rights advocate Taylor Coleman, Interfaith Alliance of Iowa Executive Director Connie Ryan, and the Reverend Dr. Richard Cizik, Executive Director of Evangelicals for Democracy. We were hosted by U.S. Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland. The event was titled Christian Nationalism is on the Ballot in 2022. And this week you will hear important highlights on State of Belief Radio. You can hear State of Belief on the radio and get the podcast on iTunes and all other podcast platforms. I urge you to subscribe to us today. State of Belief Radio is made possible in great part by the generous support of our listeners. If you've made a donation, I really want to thank you. If you haven't pitched in yet, information on how you can help keep this show on the air is available at stateofbelief.com. And you can find out more about the work of Interfaith Alliance and join in that work at interfaithalliance.org. And now, here are some highlights from Wednesday's briefing, Christian Nationalism is on the Ballot in 2022.
Christian nationalism is a lens through which a growing number of Americans view their role in our society. It's not new. It's been a stain on our national conscience from the founding. But it has drawn recent mainstream attention after Christian nationalist symbols were ubiquitous during the violent attack on January 6th. Christian nationalism has its root in the dangerous myth that we were founded as a Christian nation and because of that, enjoy special favor from God. Supporters of Christian nationalism seek a fusion of religious and civic life to the detriment of both. Polling shows that they are more likely to favor declaring the U.S. a Christian nation, tearing down the wall of separation between church and state, instituting prayer in school, and much more. For non-Christians and those who might not meet their definition of a real American, even if we are Christians ourselves, we are perpetually suspect in this worldview. The goal of Christian nationalism is the consolidation of power in the hands of an exclusive religious and political movement, and it is using, unfortunately, churches, courts, and increasingly electoral politics to gain power over the majority of the American people. In practice, this translates to suppression of voting rights, the promotion of white supremacy, and the policing of personal privacy, including the right to abortion and same-sex marriage. As the sociologist Andrew Whitehead wrote, Christian nationalism does not want a government for the people, by the people. It wants a government for a particular people, by a particular people. Interfaith Alliance is dedicated to working side by side with people from every political and religious background across the country to mobilize against Christian nationalism. On a personal note, as a Baptist pastor, I oppose Christian nationalism because I love my faith and I love my neighbors of all different faiths and no faiths, and I respect them as equally deserving of the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I also oppose Christian nationalism as a patriotic duty. As an American who is working, as James Baldwin put it, to achieve our country through the project of democracy for and by the people, all the people. What gives me hope are the people assembled in this room, on the live stream, and the people to my left. Wajahat Ali, Taylor Coleman, Connie Ryan, and Rich Cizik. And of course, Congressman Jamie Raskin, each of whom is working hard not only to defeat Christian nationalism in their own context, but to lift up an alternative vision, one of inclusive religious freedom and democracy, where people of all faith traditions and none can flourish together as equals with dignity and respect for all. Wajahat, I'm going to invite you to start to talk about personally how Christian nationalism has impacted your life as a Muslim, as well as the Muslim community more broadly, and how you would see it impacting democracy, including electoral politics.
Thank you to Paul for that warm introduction. Thank you to Interfaith Alliance for convening this important briefing on the threat of Christian nationalism to U.S. national security, democracy, and religious freedoms. Fun times. I am a Muslim son of Pakistani immigrants who was born in the Bay Area, California in the year of Empire Strikes Back, 1980. My parents named me Wajahat to blend. When I was a kid, I only spoke three words of English when my mother dropped me off at Childs Hadaway Preschool. Shut up, because my mother used to say shut up, because it was followed by idiot. And if anyone's an old head like me in the 80s, remember the Campbell Soup commercial, Uh-oh, Spaghetti-O? I was a fob kid, so I said, Uh-oh, Pasgetio. Shut up, idiot, Uh-oh, Pasgetio. But I learned English in ESL, English as a second language, in first grade, and by watching cartoons and Hollywood action movies. I learned about faith and being a man of others while attending Bellarmine, an all-boys Jesuit Catholic high school in San Jose. I'm a Muslim, by the way, yes. We did community service and read the Bible. And yours truly, the Muslim, received the highest grades in religious studies class in Bellarmine. I know. The Jesus I encountered in high school was a prophet who would love and embrace all immigrants and refugees, not use them as cruel political stunts or demonize them as invaders. He would feed the poor and the homeless and not ridicule them as lazy welfare queens. He would warn the rich about avarice and greed and not rationalize their materialistic indulgences as the prosperity gospel. That Jesus in Christianity that I encountered in high school made me into a better Muslim, who eventually graduated with an English major from UC Berkeley, went to law school, married way up to a much smarter, hotter wife, and now writes for a living and makes Lego sets for his kids. Hashtag, it gets better. I love America. My story is very unremarkable, precisely because it is so common in America, a young, evolving country, an idea where a shy, husky pants-wearing brown kid taught by Jesuit priests could grow up to be a proud Muslim who writes stories that are by us for everyone in the nation's capital. And yet my story, my very American story, is under threat due to Christian nationalism, a perverse ideology of cruelty and white supremacy, which has become one of the great enemies of U.S. national security, pluralism, religious freedoms, and Christianity itself. This movement of hate has hijacked Jesus and transformed him into a radicalized, weaponized mascot, a warrior who will return with an AR-15 and use violence if necessary to restore order and supremacy in America for God's chosen stewards, white men. You don't have to take my word for it. You just have to see the videos from January 6, 2021, right across the street, where a failed violent insurrection in our nation's capital left five people dead. According to the February 2022 report that Paul mentioned, released by Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty and Freedom from Religious Foundation, Christian nationalism was a major motivator for the violent coup that sought to overturn a free and fair election by any violent means necessary. Fast forward to today, And we have GOP Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene openly embracing Christian nationalism and palling around with anti-Semitic white nationalist Nick Fuentes. We have Doug Mastriano, who's running for GOP governor of Pennsylvania, who said he doesn't believe in the separation of church and state, and he supports the big lie, and what a surprise, he was at the January 6th rally across the street. According to a political poll released last week, nearly 61% of Republicans now support declaring the United States a Christian nation. Well, so much for religious liberties, the separation of church and state, and the Constitution. In fact, the Supreme Court's recent ban on abortion violates the religious freedoms of Jews and Muslims, both communities that, by the way, allow for abortions. Also, say goodbye to marriage equality and the right to use contraceptives, which are also under threat. And since we're on a farewell tour, might as well tip your hat to people who look like me and fast during Ramadan. Muslims in particular are seen as a unique threat to this idyllic, romanticized Christian America. We must be neutralized because we are invaders trying to allegedly replace them. Our brotherhood of mutants includes feminists, Jews, immigrants of color, LGBTQ plus communities, and even other Christians and Republicans who don't agree with them. According to a source at DHS, Christian nationalism has become a major threat to communities of color, law enforcement, and houses of worship. But since we aren't talking about Muslims or black people, there's no war on terror, no color-coded terror alerts, no calls for moderate Christians to stand up and condemn this extremism. However, if we are to be honest for the next hour, and we should, another word for this growing Christian nationalism movement is fascism. Another word is national security threat. Another word in specific contexts is terrorism. The question for the majority and mainstream institutions is, will we finally name it? Will we finally acknowledge it? Will we finally educate ourselves about this threat and confront it and white supremacy as the greatest threats to our national security today? Choose wisely, answer wisely, because our country's democracy and freedoms depend on it. Thank you.
We need to take a quick break, but there's a lot more from our Capitol Hill briefing on Christian nationalism coming right up. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.